Welcome back to the daily OU Tehillim Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Revi'i, the 20th day of the month of Elul. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Your generosity and support are greatly appreciated and enable us to continue to provide these meaningful daily calls. Please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Chaim Strauchler of Shari Shemayim in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Strauchler slowly reciting our daily four chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishnah Berach L'Cholim and Aseinu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Strauchler to learn more about his wonderful community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Strauchler.
Thank you, Naftali, and thank you to the Orthodox Union for this wonderful opportunity. And thank you all for joining this call to share words of Chizuk. Chizuk is something that we all need at this difficult time. We're all going through in our own ways, our own Eis Tzara, and it's something that is of great value to be able to come together and to share words of strength with one another at this time. I'd like to begin with a question about Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, we understand, it's a day of fasting, a day of terror, a day of seriousness. But Rosh Hashanah Katev, Yom Kippur Yechaseimu. But on Rosh Hashanah, we rejoice. We have beautiful feasts, and it's really a Yom Tov. It's a happy day. And the question is, why? Why is it that we're able to rejoice on Rosh Hashanah the way that we do? And I'd like to share an answer based upon a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the beginning of chapter 3. Where we speak about how it is that a person avoids sin. And the beginning of the Mishnah makes a lot of sense, but the end, I think, is where the real insight comes. The Mishnah says, Akavya ben Mehalel Omer, Hastakel b'shlosha dvarim ve'ena tzabadi de'avera. If you look at three things, you will not come to sin. The first, Da me'ayin bata. Know from where you come. Ula'an atolech. Number two, where are you going? And number three, before who are you going to give account for your actions? And so, Me'ayin Bata, where do you come from? B'tipas Rucha, we all come from a drop. We're all going to a place of worms and decomposition. And these ideas are dark ideas. These are ideas that don't make us feel so good to be thinking about just how low we are. But then the Mishnah concludes, before whom will we one day give account? Will we give judgment, receive judgment before the King of all kings, before the Holy One, blessed be He? And within this Mishnah is a direction about Rosh Hashanah and about life in general, which is that we see within judgment greatness. We see within responsibility nobility. And that's something that we walk into Rosh Hashanah with a sense of pride. We are going to be before the King of all kings, Avinu Malkeinu, and that we can do so with a sense of our lives mattering. And that's of great importance to us, not just in Rosh Hashanah, but in every day, to be able to recognize the opportunities within our lives. I want to share one more quick idea with you. And that relates to an idea of Rosh Hashanah, which is blowing the shofar more than is necessary. We blow 30 times, 60 times, 100 times Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, this year we're going to be doing a little bit less, and depending upon your community about whether you'll be able to hear the full 100, but you'll certainly be able to hear 30. And the question becomes, why is it that we blow the shofar so much? And in explaining this, the Gemara says that we blow the shofar la'arvev ha-satan in order to confuse the satan on Rosh Hashanah. Now the question which I have for you is, why is the satan, why is Satan so foolish? Why is it that the satan does not remember what happened last year? How is it that we confuse the satan by blowing the shofar before Masaf, not just during Masaf? What kind of confusion is that really in any reality? So the Aruch HaShulchan explains that originally we blow shofar at Shachrit, but because of Gzeirot, because we lived under the rule of Gentile nations, there was a great concern that if we were to blow the shofar too early, people would think that we were rebelling, that we were forming into armed camps to fight and to declare our independence. And so we were required to delay the blowing of the shofar till later in the day when it was clear it was only for our rituals, for our prayers. And so on a certain level, we're onasim. We are exempt by virtue of extenuating circumstances. However, we do not accept such extenuating circumstances and just let it go. We don't just blow the shofar at Musaf. We try to blow it as soon as we possibly can. And therefore, we blow it before Musaf too. And not just that, we don't just blow it once or one fulfillment, but we blow it twice or three times or four times, as much as we can, in order to fulfill this mitzvah. And what we're saying in doing it in this way is not simply that we are fulfilling our obligation, but when we are pushed, when we are under extenuating circumstances, that we do double. We do as early as we possibly can to push ourselves to be the best people that we can be. And that's what it means to confuse the Satan. The Satan is not someone outside ourselves, but it's often inside ourselves. And we might, in difficult situations, say, you know what? What's the point? Let's give up a little bit, whether that be in terms of our mitzvot or just our ability to wake up every morning and to face a new day. And that's a satan that we have to fight, especially on Rosh Hashanah, when we are taking account for our actions and for our lives. And so when we are pushed, we push back. And this is an extremely important idea this year, more than perhaps any other year in our lives, that we are all under extenuating circumstances. And now is the time where we must confuse the satan. How do we do that? By becoming more invested in the meaning of our lives, by becoming more invested in our mitzvot, by doing double, by doing it as early as we can, by pushing ourselves to be that much more aware of our neighbor, to give more tzedakah, to do more chesed, to not take this moment in a position of fatalism or passivity, but to be active, because that is what we are. We do not just sit back. Specifically on this day, we challenge that Satan, the Satan outside ourselves, whether that be a virus or the Satan inside ourselves, be that the voices that say, you know what, you don't matter. Because we say that we do matter. We matter to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we matter to the Melech Malchei HaMelachim. And with that, I want to turn now to the Tehillim, because perhaps more than anything, during the course of our history as a people, it's been these words of David HaMelech that have been our call, our ability to say that our lives matter, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to our tefillot, and that we can get up every day and not just do tshuva, but to do more mitzvot, to be able to face whatever challenges we face as individuals or as a people. And there's something of great honor and dignity that comes to saying these words, Beis Tzara, taking on the crown of our fathers, mothers, our grandfathers and our grandmothers who said these very same words. And as we say them today, as we say them at this Eitz Tzara, this time of trouble, to gain the strength that comes from these words. I'm going to begin with Perek Chaf, chapter 20, and I'm going to recite them slowly, and we'll recite a prayer for the sick at the end of this Tehillim. Lamnaseach Mizmor LeDavid, Ya'ancha Adonai B'yom Tzara, Yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov, Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh, Mitzion Yisadaka, Yizkor Kol Menchosecha, V'olasecha Yidash Nasela, Yitain Lecha Kilvavecha, V'chol Atzasecha Yimalei. Niranenab Yeshua Secha, U'v'shem Eloheinu Nidgol, Yimalei Adonai Kol Mishalosecha. Ata Yadati, Ki Oshia Adonai Mishicho, Ya'anehu Mishmei Kadsho, Bigvuros Yesha Yimino, Ela Barechev, Ve'ela Basusim, Vanachnu B'Shem Adonai Eloheinu Naskir, Hema Karu Venafalu, Vanachnu Kamnu Venis Odad, Adonai Hoshia, Hamelech Yanenu B'Yom Koreinu. We're now going to recite Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor LeDavid, Adonai Ro'i Lo Echsar, v'nostesha yarbitzeni, almei menuchos yinahaleni. Nafshi yishovev, yancheni b'maglei tzedek l'ma'an shimo. Gam ki eilech, b'geitz almaves, lo irara ki ata imadi. Shivtecha u'mishantecha, heima yinachamuni. Ta'aroch ufanai shulchan, neged tzorarai. Dishanta b'shemen roshi, kosi revaya. Achtov b'chesed yirdifuni, kol yimei chayai. V'shavti b'veis Adonai, li'orech yamim. Now going to say Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph, chapter 121. Shir l'ma'alos, esa einai al heharim, me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, osei shamayim va'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomrecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzilcha al yad yiminecha. Yomam ha-shemesh lo yakeka, v'yareach balayla. Adonai yishmarcha mikol ra, yishmor es nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeischa uvo'echa, me'ata v'ad olam. We'll now recite Perek Kuf Lamed, the last of our chapters, chapter 130. Shir ha-ma'alos, mima'amakim kerasicha Adonai. Adonai shim'a b'koli, tiyena aznecha kashuvos, l'kol tachanunai. Im avonos tishmor ya, Adonai mi ya'amod, ki imcha haslicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki visi Adonai kivsa nafshi, v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki Adonai ha-chesed, v'haribei imo fedus, v'hu yifte'es Yisrael, mikol avonosav. I will now recite a Mishaberach for the Cholim. I will pause in the middle of this tefillah for you to add quietly to yourself the name of anyone whom you know who is in need of a refuah shlema, a complete recovery. Mishaberach avosenu, Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, Moshe Aaron, David Shlomo, Vimosenu, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Belea'a, Huivarech, Rapetach, Cholim. Ba'avur, Sha'anu, Mispalalim, Ba'avuram. Bizcharza Kadosh Baruchu, Yimalei Rachamim Alehem, Lahachmimam Ulraposam, Ulahachazikam Ulahayosam, Vishlach Lahem Mehera Rufuash Lehmam in Hashemayim, Lachol Evarehem Ulachol Gidehem, Besoch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael, Rufuas Hanefesh, Rufuas Haguf, Hashta Bagala, Uvizman Kariv, Venomar Amen. May they each receive a speedy recovery.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Straussler. As we segue into the next part of our call, how are you, your family, and community doing?
Baruch Hashem. We feel a lot of gratitude for what we have here in Toronto and in Canada in general. We've been very blessed in that the virus has not been as intense in other parts of the world. We certainly have suffered. We've lost members of our congregation to the virus. And each loss is a tragedy, and that's something which is something very much on our minds. And at the same time also, as everyone is going through the important social distancing rules in order to avoid the spread of the illness, there's been a lot of psychological and social prices to be paid for that, and we try our best to give each other strength and to give each other hope and chizuk, as we're doing right now, to face the opportunities that lie before us. And we certainly feel this as our moment to educate our children and to educate ourselves about what really matters. And that's something that we're feeling. We're feeling the brachot of life, the brachot of of dear friendships and of dear family. And we're able to very often separate the essential from the non-essential about what makes life really worth living and what really is essential to our Avodat Hashem as well.
Certainly so, and we're really sorry for the losses that your community experienced, each one of the world within itself. And yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why these calls, amongst other resources, and opportunities that are out there in the broader national and international community have resonated with people, is to get a shot of chizik, of strength, of inspiration, to come together. Even we're all over the world in different places, but to daven together, to pray together, to have these meaningful moments together, certainly we're doing our part. And without a doubt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and us, the world is certainly noticing. If you could give us a little bit of a background for our listeners who might not be familiar with Toronto, or certainly with your shul, you can give a little bit more of an overview of the shul and your community in general.
Absolutely. Toronto is an Ir V'Ein B'Yisrael. It's a beautiful community. It's Canadian, which means that it's a little different than United States congregations in that. I'd say that the people here are a little bit more traditional. There's a tremendous emphasis upon Jewish education in Toronto, and it's really the source of our strength as a community, both in terms of knowledge of Hebrew, whether it be people who are Orthodox or not Orthodox, but also just in terms of Torah. There's wonderful Torah learning that takes place here all the time, whether it be the Shiurim, Daf Yomi, and lots of schools and lots of ongoing adult education takes place in the city. And it's also a city with lots of chesed. So many organizations, so many ways in which we are looking out for one another and also engaging in Canadian life generally and trying to advocate for not just our community but also for our values. And that's something that that we partner with what is really a wonderful society in caring as best we can for one another and trying to do as much good as we can, to do mitzvot with as many partners as we're able to bring together.
Amazing. This seems to be a theme for the shuls and the community in Toronto, as we've heard this expressed and shared with some of the other rabbis we've had on. So we're about a week and a half away from Rosh Hashanah. Rabbis, lay leadership have been working around the clock to prepare for what's been a very unusual year. Who could have imagined when we were just beginning back in mid-March and thinking about Pesach that here we would be 6 months later trying to figure out how to rotate multiple minyanim, whether they should be indoors and outdoors, and what to do about shofar blowing and those who aren't able to come to shul. What's the plan as of today? We know things in these uncertain times can change day to day, but as of now, what are the plans for your shul as you prepare for the high holidays?
So we're fortunate we'll be able to meet in person in our shul. We'll be creating spaces to meet the various needs and concerns of our people as we're facing this virus. And so we have a medical committee that has guided us in creating a safe space to daven inside our base Knesset, but we'll also be creating tents outdoors to facilitate those who'd like to daven not inside but daven outdoors. And we'll also be having opportunities to blow shofar in the afternoon for those who don't want to daven in a shul, even in a tent, but want to hear shofar. We'll be creating those experiences as well. And likewise for children and young families who would not be able to sit through a tefillah given the special requirements surrounding this time. We're also going to be having special children's programs in the afternoon on Rosh Hashanah to allow the children safely with their families to maintain social distancing, but also to participate in tefillah and to hear the shofar on the second day of Rosh Hashanah as well. And I think that it's important for us to really feel the those people who are present, those people who are not present, that there are a lot of people who won't be in shul this year, and we'll be providing before Rosh Hashanah online programs for them, and we'll also be extending gifts before Rosh Hashanah to help them experience Rosh Hashanah more meaningfully. And I think that that's, in many respects, the greatest challenge, the diversity of how people are handling the crisis And one of my dear friends and colleagues, Rabbi Jonathan Muscat, said that at the beginning of the crisis, the crucial mitzvah was emunah. And now the crucial mitzvah is being damakaf zuchut, is to judge others favorably. And I think that in how we approach these moments, it's critical for us to be aware of others, to recognize that how we deal with a crisis is not necessarily how someone else deals with a crisis, and to be really dan lekaf zchut, to be able to judge others favorably as we are mamlich kodesh baruch hu as an am, as a people, that even if we're not shoulder to shoulder in shul crying out Hashem hu Elokim, but we're going to be doing that together if at a distance.
Wow, beautifully said, and we were fortunate to have as we must get on the call earlier this summer, but it's so true, absolutely. Rabbi Strauchler, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community. As they are with all Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, and our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community, with continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with Tova. And may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow at Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time as we continue and stay north of the border for words of inspiration from Rabbi Daniel Kropkin, the best Abraham Yosef of Toronto, better known as the Bayit in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. This concludes today's call with hearts full of faith. Stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.